Blog Talk Radio.
So very faithless and perverse generation. How do you say? Faithless and what else? What makes a man get perverted without faith? What's perverted our Christianity? Faithless.
Well, say that profess that God has given you power, love, and a sound mind, and your mind is not sound. You don't have power to overcome your present situation and circumstances.
Now, the devil is always pushing. You can recognize the demons working because they always push to impetuous, immediate action. Don't think, do. And the devil says, if you don't do it now, you'll miss the opportunity. If you don't move now, if you don't sell now, if you don't jump now, it'll be gone.
And the kingdom of God is best expressed by authority and power to cast out devils.
Listen, dear friends. Don't forget that little word he said, seek ye first. Come on, that's the secret right there, seek ye first. Seek ye first. Oh, I tell you, the average person said, seek me first. That's it, seek me first. Put me first.
Well, anyone who opposes the kingdom of God and the casting out of devils, because when we're of God's kingdom, our sole purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. Our sole purpose is to cast down Satan's kingdom.
I can tell you whether you won souls or not, whether you get your prayers answered, whether you're happy or not, whether you got a happy home or not, whether you're worth killing in the church or not. I can tell you, if you love your friend and let me see how you start your day out, if you grab a cup of coffee and a newspaper and sit there for an hour and let the Bible go begging, brother, you're mixed up in worldliness.
The Word of God said, we're going over to the other side. And in the midst of the Word of God saying, we are going over to the other side, the enemy showed up in the storm. And the first thing that the enemy did was challenge those who walk with Christ. Those who eat with him and slept with him and saw the miracle, the signs and the wonders done by him. The first thing that the enemy did was steal the word that they heard right out of their heart and then allow doubt to rise up on the inside of them. And instead of believing what the Word of God said, they said, Lord, we perish.
Reading the word that's going to give you faith, that isn't what he's talking about. It isn't just hearing the word that's going to give you faith. You've got to open your spiritual ear or eye as you hear or read the word and appropriate by faith. Make it yours.
That'll sober you up. That ought to melt your silly heart. I'm not interested in your feelings and your little silly sentimentality. I'm wondering about your love for Christ and compassion for others. Do you care? I'm asking you one question tonight. Do you love Jesus or do you love this stinking world?
But God wants us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Deceiving ourselves. How many folks are deceived every single week? Going to hear what they call the word and it never once emboldens them or give them a desire or a passion to do the works of Christ.
We want just a bunch of sickly sentimentality, and we want to just fix up sort of a hiding place and a loophole for sinners to say, well, if that old cuss made it in, I can make it in myself.
The kingdom is within you, and the only kingdom that this world is going to understand until the king comes is what they see in us. Because now we are the only creatures that have the ability to walk in darkness and to walk in light.
Oh, God, people, go out!
Glory to the King, glory to the King. Bless you all, Israel. Shalom, shalom, shalom to every one of you listening tonight. By the way, a Blog Talk Radio over your phones or over the internet. This is Elder Douglas Becker with this segment tonight, the Brothers segment of Blog Talk Radio. I truly hope that you all are doing well and greatly encouraged. Good to see you all in the room, people that are coming in. Thank you all for the radio check. It looks like the signal's coming in real well. Appreciate it. Good to see all the sisters in the room. Sister Brittany, Sister Heidi, you all made it back safely. Brother Vincent, appreciate it. Brother Ziana, good to see you in the room. And those listening by phone, and those that are slowly coming in. Bless you, Brother Josh Turner, the poster guy. What's the good term for it, Josh? I don't know. I'll think of something. But appreciate your labors, son. But hey, I hope you all had a good first day. We butchered layers today. We did, I think it was 140 layers, and called out the old birds, and because we got a new batch of birds in, and we were just wasting feed for nothing. So, it's just time to go. You got to be economical, especially in these days. But oh, hallelujah! I know y'all still chewing on the word from the last two Shabbats that. The shepherds have been putting out for us, Pastor Dowd, and Yah has been bringing greater understanding to us about the body, soul, and spirit, and I am thankful for it. Yeah, it's true, you can't listen enough. It's there, it's in the Word, it's said, but it's not really realized, and the strength and power of it is not really there until, it's actually preached and taught. Just like the Word tells us that, faith cometh by hearing, and all we hear except he be sent. So we thank Yah for sending us ordained men that teach us these things and labor with us as we grow and come to the coming perfection and waiting for the coming of our King. All right, glory to the King. Sister Ziana, sorry, Diane just texted me, said I called you brother. Hey, don't be offended at me. Sometimes that happens, Got two things going on at once. Bless you, Brother Vernon. Good to see you in the room. And all the saints still filtering in by phone. But, the Shabbat messages, I hope you all are going back and re-listening to them. And I do understand that yesterday's message was a little messed up audio-wise, but we're working on a new system, so just be patient. But anyway, bless y'all. Tonight's message is, I'm going to call it unfruitful knowledge. Call it unfruitful knowledge. And I kind of got led in this topic of study, like all studies, all we're doing is really scratching the surface. But the hope is to say enough to bring some type of message home, some type of admonition and some type of edification, exhortation as to, what we can do with the information provided and how we can further use it to strengthen our relationship with Yahshua. But again, the message tonight is called Unfruitful Knowledge. And with that, we're going to get started. Let me get my paperwork in order. All right, and when I talk about knowledge, the base that I'm talking about is the unfruitful supernatural knowledge, spiritual knowledge, and some historical knowledge. Again, the conversation here and the topic is unfruitful knowledge. There's knowledge that's fruitful, and there's definitely knowledge that's unfruitful. If you are truly seeking knowledge and understanding of a matter, then you will come to those who would have the knowledge and understanding with the spirit to entreat and not the spirit of challenge or assumption. Sorry, my typing a little bit butchered here, but what I'm saying, if somebody's really truly seeking to understand more and learn more and gain more knowledge and understanding of a matter, when you come to those that you know have that, don't come with the spirit like you're going to come before them to challenge what they already have or come in this vein that you know greater. That's why they're the teacher and you're the student. Dealing with men who depend on secular sources of knowledge rather than being led by the Holy Spirit is always trouble. Men do these things outwardly that they might be seen of men to gain recognition, but look at their lives. Do they manifest and demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit in healing and deliverance, in the winning of souls? And you can see that they manifest themselves, who these sort of men are, that they'll take and, I've seen brothers walk around with these books under their arm. And the reason they have the books on their arm, because they're looking for somebody to say, hey, brother, what's that book you got on your arm? And then they got another victim there that they can go ahead and start putting all this stuff into you that you wouldn't have never even thought of had they not. It's a lure, right? If that makes sense. Again, heed this warning. You are being set up. This is a doorway Satan used to fool you and to gain you. And we're going to go on a bunch of different things on this topic. We know the word tells us that we are destroyed because of the lack of knowledge. But this should never be used as justification to go outside the word in an attempt to show that your quest for knowledge is justified. There are some men who are completely selfish and self-centered. Their care is not about the souls of those that they spit their false beliefs into, nor do they concern themselves with how their falsehoods will poison the minds of the vulnerable. And you that seek wisdom, especially of those who are new to this walk, are new to all the experiences that you have not encountered, do yourself a great service. That when things transpire, look to those who have already had these encounters, already had these experiences. As by default, they already know more than you believe that you do. Men do themselves a huge disservice by assuming, even though it's their first time to experience a matter, they have all the insight and understanding of those who have already been through the same encounters. In fact, this hastiness on their part most often leads to offenses entering in, if that makes sense, and I hope it does. Okay, with that, with my opening dialogue, we're going to get into this. Daniel chapter 12, I'm going to start in Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. And again, we're going to be talking knowledge that is unfruitful, knowledge that people seek after, knowledge that people try to use to show themselves as in a place of preeminence, to try to gain themselves a position or authority in the whole meantime, that they're actually taking advantage of the saints, that they're actually undermining what the Holy Spirit is truly doing and leading you astray. Okay, that's what we're going to talk about. Verse 1, and at that time Michael shall stand up, and again, this is Daniel chapter 12, talking exclusively about this time that we're in now, all right? That great prince would stand for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. So we're opening up the first verse in here in Daniel 12. And again, they're using, you know, chapter and verse, but before with just one written, one continual letter. So we're opening up here, and they're introducing us into our mindset about the time of situation that we're currently in, and we're going to be going into farther. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And it is. In this day and age, knowledge is increasing exponentially. I believe I read someplace that the ability for to computers to do their calculating or whatever they want to do it, whatever you want to call it, is doubling every day with the amount of information they can hold, with the amount of information they can hold and return. You know, it's obvious to those who can see and discern that we are in the end days, and that there is at this present and growing a wealth of knowledge available for all in any area that men so choose to delve. The advent of the internet has made this accessible to all, and it is said that the knowledge we possess today doubles each day. No wonder men's hearts and minds are so vulnerable and so quickly moved to searching out and acting on new revelations, which are not new, as they are entering into another's mind of things. We have access, people. We have access. Meaning that all you have to do now, you know, when I was growing up, we didn't have computers. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have video games. We didn't have anything like that. And I remember back in junior high school when we got our first computers, they were actually paper cards, and you could punch the cards in a certain pattern, into this reader, and the computer would print out something, you know, just really, you know, just simple, right? Just so unassuming. It was just like, but that was the foundation. Now today, it's like, you know, off the chain. But then you get on places like, you know, YouTube, for example. YouTube has got a whole host of information. If you've got any topic that comes into your head, I don't care what it is, and I'm talking spiritual knowledge, supernatural knowledge, anything like that, it's at your fingertips. So we definitely are in the last days, and knowledge definitely is increased, and it's there for anybody that wants to grasp it and doesn't think wisely when they look for it. All right, we're going to go to Genesis, and we're going to start in chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, and then Genesis chapter 2, 15 through 17, and then we'll go to Genesis chapter 3. I'll give you the verses in a little bit. Okay, Yahweh never meant for man to have the ability to know good or evil, but only to live and think as their created self. And that was the foundation. It was, and we're going to read this, and you're going to see more about the context in which I'm talking about. So again, remember, tonight's topic is about unfruitful knowledge, the things that you need to stay away from, the things that you don't need to be lured into. Remember, Jesus said that he would give us the Holy Spirit, right? The comforter that would lead us and guide us into all truth. That's why it's even more vital to have the baptism, the Ruach HaKodesh, so we can be led into all truth, not be led by our own minds, our own volitions, our own theologies, our own ideas, our own doctrines about what truth is, because there is only one truth. All right, Genesis chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Excuse me. And Yahweh planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made Yahweh to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So we have the setting here. Genesis is painting a picture for us so we can see it in our minds, what's going on, or at least, you know, to some degree, get kind of an idea of the description about what we're looking at. But in the midst of the garden, in the middle of the garden, we see a couple of trees there. One is the tree of life, and also the one is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And it's amazing they're right next to each other, because we have had access to the tree of life, but when we went to the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you know, I'm not going to go to that whole thing and count, but it's going to find out that Yah kept Adam and Eve from going back to the tree of life, because now they gained access to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All right, Genesis 2, again, 15 through 17. And Yahweh took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And Yahweh commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but the tree of the knowledge, the tree of knowing, the tree of discernment, the tree of understanding, the tree of wisdom, of good and evil thou should not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So how do you choose to feed yourself every day? Do you choose yourself to feed yourself with the fruit of the good or the fruit of the evil? As this all comes from one source. Give me 2 seconds here. All right. Thank you. All right, Genesis chapter 3, verses 1. 1 through 7. Genesis 3, 1 through 7. So, now we just got the introduction. We know that, again, the topic, again, is unfruitful knowledge, and we're finding out where the base of knowledge of good and evil comes from. And so now we're going to go up, and I call this the setup, and everybody knows it happens in Genesis 3, the setup by Satan. All right, starting in verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle. He was more deceptive. He was full of much more cunning. He was much more of this false wisdom, I'll use that, much more able to deceive, much more smooth in his speech, much more alluring in his words than any beast of the field which Yahweh the Elohim had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath Yah said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, here we see the doorway to the woman's mind being knocked on, you know, if you will. This first attempt to introduce new knowledge of that which was not previously known, as though it's something needed to make one wiser. So here's the bait, right? Here's the knock. Here's the thought coming in. If I can get you to look this way, if I can get you to accept this, hey, this thing might actually benefit you. This is the same approach that Satan uses to this very day, when he used those who were at his disposal of his will to knock on the door of your mind in order for you to open up and let him in. Satan is the ultimate expert of setting you up for your fall. All right, verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the garden, of the trees of the garden. Okay, clearly, this was a huge mistake by the woman when she actually engaged in dialogue with a discourse with the Hasatan, when she gave ear to the devil, when she allowed herself to become active in conversation, when she chose to enter into discussion with this liar and deceiver. This should definitely teach us all something about cutting off conversing with those who engage us with alternative ideologies, alternative doctrines, those things which are contrary to sound doctrine, things that which have been spoken to us by those who Yahweh has ordained to bring us to perfection and keep intact the unity of the body. Again, my typing kind of messed up, but meaning stick to sound doctrine. Don't allow yourself to be lured into conversation. That's where the door gets opened, because there's the introduction, the seeds planted, and then when the conversations open up, and then you become the doorway to receive whatever, you become the recipient of whatever this is, the other, whatever on the other end, whether video or person talking personally, can put into your ear. Just like we see here that the serpent, Satan, did with Eve. But of the fruit of the tree, in verse 3, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Yah has said, you shall not eat of it. So it was a command by Yah. It said, this is what it is. There ain't no left or right. There ain't no, you know, discussion about this at all. This is permanent. This is what I said. Point blank, this is what you shall do. You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. No discussion. So knowing that the woman already repeated this back to the serpent, and she already had the confirmation that this is where she was supposed to, this was her safe place. When she just knew that Yah said, leave it alone. Hey, it, you know, when the approach came, when the introduction came, when the thought came, that this thing might actually benefit you. Hey, brother, sister, if you actually listen to what I have to say, you know, this might further your knowledge, might further your revelation, your spiritual understanding. But Yah said, just leave it right here. That keeps the door shut when you remember that. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. So again, he's got her in conversation. The door is open. She's receiving the information coming from him. She's getting this knowledge that is evil because she opened the door. Again, consider the source. Identify the source. It may be that the devil is working through someone in order to seduce you and entice you to sin by tempting you to question Yahweh. You know this thing, you know, they will say to you, it'll be okay. You know, I wouldn't lie to you. I wouldn't deceive you. I wouldn't mislead you. While the whole time they're being misled or deceived. You know, I got your best interests in mind. If you would just listen to what I'm telling, you will see that there is truth to what I'm saying. And, you know, all the other excuses. I'm only attempting to get you to see something that might benefit you, you know, through in your thought library. Just presenting other possibilities to that which you have already understood, trying to build on your understanding type of thing. And these are all doorways to Satan. Again, the topic tonight is untruthful knowledge, forbidden knowledge. In verse 5, for Yah does know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. Okay, so what does that tell you? Well then, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as else, God's knowing or perceiving or distinguishing or having revealed what good and evil is. Okay, man was created with his eyes closed, meaning his knowledge base closed. He had everything that was created into him. That's all he needed to exist, to have a relationship with Yah that was pure and unspotted. Man had no knowledge of those things which were good and acceptable and those things which were wicked and corrupt. Man had no other way to think than that which was placed in them at creation. That was man's place of safety, that they could not seek after good or evil as man was created in a perfected state. Satan, in all his cunning, knew the downfall and destruction of man would come by having their, quote, their eyes open. I mean, coming to revelations and new spiritual knowledge and a greater depth of things. Man now being susceptible to knowledge that is devilish and sensual. Man now having the drive to fulfill things that satisfy the flesh, as that is where sin now resides. The only good there is are those things which are of Yahweh, which are those things which can only be spiritually understood, those things which are of the mind of the Messiah. We can never go back to the created state of man and his eyes closed in that state when he was created, and are now in a place where we must choose to flee the knowledge of evil and choose the good. So now every day we have a decision in front of us, every single day. Verse 6, and woman, when the woman saw, remember she didn't know nothing before, her eyes were closed. She was just operating her created state, in a perfected state, but all of a sudden now she could see, right? And the tree was, she saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise. And there's a lot of trees out there, all over the place. There's the trees on YouTube, the trees on Amazon Library books. There's trees and all kind of material on the internet. There's kind of trees of knowledge all over the place now. I mean, knowledge shall be increased. It's every place. And there's all kind of fruit to pick off every direction you look. And she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. You know, it's amazing how the woman saw in another way the tree of knowledge of good and evil simply by allowing Satan to spit in her ear. He gave doorway. I mean, gave heed. Gave an audience. Opened up in conversation. This opened the doorway to sin even before she ate of the fruit. It's these, quote, seeds men also plant that seek to open the doors of others' minds. Those occasions when those who you consider your brother or sister present the seeds of strange ideas, strange concepts, alternative doctrines, ideologies, in order to get you to open your mind up to receiving such things. And don't be fooled. This is Satan working through them, that spirit which is against Messiah. Okay, in verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened, so now that the man also ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, of course, where he was once closed, where his spiritual, his knowledge base was shut because he had everything he needed, now a sudden was open. And they knew that they were naked and sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So we can see how this avenue of conversation, like, hey, you know, and you're going to see it too. I mean, there'll be some of you that are in a room that are new, and there's some that have been in the ministry for a while, that there are people that believe themselves to be spiritual, or have new revelations and new ideas or new interpretations, you know, outside of what the ordained leadership has been speaking of for years. And, you know, like I was talking to my shies, you know, Paul, he said something, Paul had greater revelations too, but Paul had enough sense and enough love and enough consideration for other men's souls. He simply said, you're dull of hearing, and it's something that I'm not going to reveal to you. He had enough consideration for his fellow man. He didn't have the pride, and he didn't want to have the preeminence, and he didn't want to have the greater revelation. None of that, because his concern first was for his brother and sisters. All right, Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. All right, Paul writing to the assembly at Colossians. As you have therefore received Yeshua HaMashiach, Messiah, our Master, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him. Nothing else but rooted and built up. Have your root, process of growing in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. So Paul's already admonishing the assembly. Look, you stay in this vein here, right? You stay rooted and built up in that which we have already taught you, which we already presented to you, the things that we said for your edification, for your perfection, for your sanctification. And then he goes on to say, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. So he's trying to tell him, admonish him to what foundation to remain standing on. Okay, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, which is zeal or drive for knowledge of theology. So any man spoil you through their new created knowledge of a greater understanding, a personal understanding of theologies. And vain deceit, which is empty delusions. So let no man spoil you or take advantage of you or deceive you through the knowledge of different theologies or empty delusions that they might have, but ideas of, you know, great revelations after the tradition of men, something they commonly do because they walk after the flesh, after the rudiments of the world, or the elements or components of the world, and not after Messiah. These things aren't after Messiah. They're after the world. They're by the hand and the sleight of men, who Satan is working through. The word spoil is the Greek 48:12. In the Thayer definition, Brother Josh, it means to carry off booty, to carry off as a captive, quote, a slave, to lead away from the truth and subject to one's sway. So beware lest any man lead you away from the truth, subject to their sway, to their pull, their cunning, their craftiness, their alluring, through the knowledge of useless theology and empty delusions. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, 2 Timothy 2, 14 through 16. Again, the topic tonight is unfruitful knowledge. All right, of these things, put them in remembrance. Now, this is the Apostle Paul. He's writing this letter to Timothy. And he said, of these things, put them in remembrance, so those that are in the assembly there, charging, meaning which is to testify against or protest earnestly against, charging them before Yahweh, before the Master, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting, which means the overturning and the catastrophe or destruction of the hearers. So again, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before Yahweh, before the Master, that they strive not about words to no profit, to the subverting of the hearers. So we have a situation here where Paul is writing Timothy and saying, look, you've got this thing going on. There's men there that are causing a lot of strife and a lot of contention. All these words that they're spewing out, all these things that they're presenting, are absolutely no profit. And the whole goal behind them doing this, and don't allow them to do this, Timothy, because what they're doing is overturning the hearers, what has already been put into the hearers, those the converts, those that are in the true faith of Messiah HaMashiach. Verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto Yahweh. So Paul is admonishing Timothy, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay, why study to show yourself approved? Why? So that you won't be chargeable to Yahweh. You won't be overturned, subverted, brought to destruction, or bring destruction to the faith of those who are the hearers. Ask yourself this, as an Israelite living in these days, what materials were available to study that focused on the truth of Yah's word? How many external things that were not of the word of Yah were considered materials? And what I'm saying here is that back in this day when Paul actually wrote these words, right, he said, study to show thyself approved. And Paul was saying that there's the things that you want to study, things that are, there's not much to pick from. There's only really a few sources of truth, so just stick to that. And again, that's the same admonishment for the day. There's only a few sources that provide the real truth of Yah's word, so stick to that. I mean, we got all kind. Of course, Timothy had access to other materials back then like we do today, not near as much as we do today, you know, as minuscule in comparison. But the fact of the matter is Paul's direction was rightly dividing the word of truth, not things alternative to that. Verse 16. But which is to avoid profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. These things that, the whole point was here, are these that are going to strive about words, and they're going to strive about words because they believe they have a better knowledge base. They believe that they have a better understanding, these people that actually bring these contentions, because for some reason that they've looked at something that you're not aware of, and they're trying to introduce it. But you should just be rightly dividing just the truth and sticking to the truth, okay? But all Paul is saying is that you're going to watch them. All this is going to do, if you allow this to continue, is it going to increase to more ungodliness and to those that whose hearing is actually being subverted or overturned. You're going to watch them get more distant, more closed-minded, more offended, more angry, be in more strifeful situations, that same spirit, that familiar spirit, because that door got open, because Satan knocked, the door got open, the speech was allowed, the introduction of whatever this forbidden knowledge was got put into the ears of these unsuspecting people, and then all this is going to do is lead them to more ungodliness. And it's going to lead to more empty discussions, which is vain babblings, fruitless discussions, and absolutely no fruit. All right, Book of Sirach, chapter 3, verses 21 through 25. Sirach, chapter 3, 21 through 25. All right, verse 21, seek not out the things that are too hard for thee, neither search the things that are above thy strength. And believing the pride of man, we believe that, you know, we're so mature that we can handle anything out there, that we can put anything before our eyes, we can let anything go in our ears. We somehow fool ourselves and think that, well, you know, we're saints of the Most High. Hey, we can be able to handle this. I can spit out the meat, or what is it? Chew the meat and spit out the bone, excuse me. But here we have the admonishment, Sirach, hey, just calm your jets, think about what you're doing, don't jump the gun, seek not out those things that are too hard for thee, that are way above thy pay grade, neither search the things that are above thy strength, because they're going to bring you to ruin. But what is commanded thee, think thereupon with reverence. So what is commanded? We have a whole book of commandments, right? This is the safe place. This is where you can rightly divide the truth and understand what it says and know for certainly that you're in a safe place with good knowledge, not unfruitful knowledge or not forbidden knowledge. Think thereupon with reverence, for it is not needful for thee to see with thine eyes the things that are in secret. And men love to do that. Men love to find some new revelation of the truth, show you some new book, show you some flaw in history, some different idea about, say, from Noah's flood to You know, I could go on and on and on with the list, but there's so much out there. Again, it only takes is one thought. You could be sitting reading your word. You could be doing a study, whatever you're doing, right? And this is how cunning Satan is. All of a sudden there's a difference in the way that you see this scripture come off or this verse or whatever. It comes off the page and it's like, wow, I've never seen it like that before. And then you start to think about it and you really think about where's this thought coming from. Right away we automatically assume it's coming from a righteous source, like the Holy Spirit's ministering. I was never considering for a second that Satan may have used that advantage right there in that 1 second, because he can see what we're looking at. And he's introducing an alternative thought, an alternative idea. And the next thing you know, you're on Amazon or you're on your keyboard and you're clicking the buttons or you're clicking through YouTube videos and, hey, see, you know what? What I just got in the spirit is right. And you're looking through all this stuff and you're rubbing your hands together. Man, this is good, right? You keep building on it. And the whole time Satan's leading you in completely down the wrong path. And the first thing, and you're so excited, is that you're going to go tell everybody else, anybody that will give ear to it. And the first person you come to, and you say, hey, look what I got. And they look at you like this crazy look in their face, like, man, get out of my face. I don't want to hear that stuff. And then you're going to have a fight on your hands. Well, I know I heard from the Holy Spirit, right? And the whole time is Satan. This is how cunning he is. That's how he was able to deceive Eve. He just simply popped one little thought in her mind, and it changed. It opened the whole doorway to the conversation, and off they went. For it is not needful for thee to see with thine eyes the things that are in secret. Be not curious in unnecessary matters, things that don't have anything to do with you, things that don't benefit anybody, things that don't bring any light or any understanding, don't be any edification. I mean, just chewy things, right? I think Teacher Shane came up with that, things that are chewy, things that people will sit at hours at a table and discuss and go back and forth, but there's no profit. Nobody's edified. Nobody's strengthened. Nobody gets up better. Nobody has more demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit after they go back and forth, and all these little discussions. And you just watch men, like Paul said in Timothy, just grow up to more ungodliness, and it's going to cause more strife and more turmoil and more trauma in your mind, and you're going to roll back and forth in your bed, and, well, I know I'm right. I'm telling you. Hey, glory to the King. Be not curious in unnecessary matters, for more things are showed unto thee than men understand. Again, Paul said, man, you're dull of hearing. I'm not about to go ahead and reveal you the stuff that I know. I know it's true, but you can't handle it. Who knows what you do with the information, what you got. If you've been in this ministry for any time, Pastor Dahl has said it many times, and I know the other shepherds here, Pastor Muir probably attests to it, Pastor Corey, I can too, is that there are certain things that we give when we study, and it's like, wow, okay, well, that's kind of a, oh boy, you know, that's a whole new thing, but we know people just aren't ready to hear, because even, you know, sometimes it even sounds like, wow, it's like, that's really deep. It's like, man, is that really right? And you just leave it alone, because if it's of the Most High, he will present the doorway at some point and give you an opportunity to speak if that be his will. If not, you'll hear somebody else in authority speak about the same thing. You can rejoice and say, hey, you know, Holy Spirit did minister to me. But just shut the hell up and just keep it. If you're in the wrong mindset, if you're receiving bad knowledge or unfruitful knowledge, and you go run and start telling everybody else about all the great things that aren't truly great, they're just a deception to Satan, you're actually poisoning your brother and sister and jeopardizing their soul. That's how important this is. All right, verse 24. For many are deceived by their own vain opinion, and an evil suspicion have overthrown their judgment. Many of those who seek out greater forbidden mysteries, those which search out things which that will build upon their suspicions and hunches which drive men past the fear of Yahweh, and just remaining content with what Yahweh only meant for us to know. Those who have become deceived in themselves and lifted up in their minds, believing they have greater insight to the ways of Yahweh and to the truth of his word. Again, an evil suspicion deceived by their own vain opinion. And it's going to lead them to make the next steps because they are deceived of their own selves. Verse 25, those that are deceived, their own vain opinion. Verse 25, these are without eyes that shall want light. They can't really see because now they're in deception. Profess not the knowledge, therefore, that thou hast not. Don't sit there and start spewing a bunch of things you think is right when it's knowledge that can actually be detrimental to somebody else's welfare and spiritual soul. I think I'm making sense. I hope so anyway. Glory to the King. All right, Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. Chapter 1, 6 through 11. No, 6 through 12. I'm sorry, 6 through 12. Jesus, help me, Jesus. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 12. Hallelujah. I got it. All right, I got it. Hallelujah, glory to the King. Man, I've seen it. You know, in the years that I've been here, I've seen that. That's what people do. They go behind the scenes. They get on the phone. Hey, brother. Hey, guess what? Hey, sister. You know what? And they make it look so subtle. They actually treat you like it. They're doing you a favor, right? Hey, you know what? Hey, you know, just, hey, I got something to tell you. I think it'll benefit you. Or, man, you ever think about it this way? And then you're on the hook. Just be careful of this stuff, man. I mean, it's there. It's everywhere. And as knowledge increases, people are going to come to more personal revelations and look to take advantage of you. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6, I guess, like I said, through 12. Right? Yeah. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you under the grace of Yeshua, grace of Messiah, unto another message, unto another gospel. So we have Paul, he's writing, he's just totally flabbergasted, like, hey, wait a minute, you know? When I left y'all in good shape. And then I'm hearing that, man, all of a sudden y'all are so soon removed. Well, what has removed you? What has taken you away from the message that was initially put in your ear? What kind of new knowledge and what kind of new information did you let come into your ear? Which is not another. So what we have is a situation that somebody's taken the perfect message and altering it and adding to it or taking away from it and trying to distort it for whatever advantage. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert you. It means that they would corrupt you. They would turn you around. They would pervert the message of Messiah. All right, the word trouble in verse 7 here is the Greek 50-15 Thayer definition. I'll go to the key points instead of reading through it all. To take away his calmness of mind, to take away your calmness of mind. So there be some that are there to take away the calmness of your mind by interjecting new thoughts. Because when you walk in the message of Messiah, it should bring you peace. It should bring you assurance. It should build you up in your confidence. But if you're getting introduced to something that is contrary, even though it sounds similar, and you're losing this calmness of your mind, you've possibly have to look at the fact you may have just been deceived from some bad information or some bad knowledge. It also means to perplex the mind of one by suggesting scruples or doubts. So there be some that are going to perplex your mind by introducing doubts into what the message that you've already heard and begin you to question and perverting that original message that you heard, the original good news. And is going to get you to doubt by giving you some new knowledge base or some new inside information or some different, you know, angle, whatever the case may be. But though we or an angel from Shemaim preach any other message, any of the gospel unto you than that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now again, Paul is attempting to paint a picture for the Galatians of how very serious this is by emphasizing not only that which is earthly, but also that which is heavenly. To not give ear to anything that doesn't stay in line with the true message of Messiah. He's going through the greatest of bounds from here on earth all the way to heaven. I don't care if you hear it supernaturally or from somebody standing in the flesh in front of you, right? And he goes on to say that you let someone who has cursed themselves, let him be someone who has cursed themselves, who are under cursed by their own ways, those who are anathema, meaning something that's hateful, offensive. Oh, my God, my typing. Oh, help me, Jesus. Okay, so it's talking about let them be accursed. It's talking about those that have cursed themselves, They place themselves under curse because they decided to alter the message or change the message by whatever new information they've ingested, whatever new doubts that they've allowed in their ears, and they're going to introduce them to others, because that's what people do when they come to some new idea, new revelation, never considering that who's standing in front of you, they belong to the Most High, and you actually could be poisoning your brother and sister. So think carefully before you go run off and decide to call on the phone and say, hey, look what I found out. Man, you got to hear this. Boy, you never heard this scripture interpreted like this before. Man, I read this book. Holy bucket. I got a whole new understanding about this. We're just going to blow the lid off. We're going to grow leaps and bounds, but there's no demonstration of the spirit again. It's all just what mind candy, mind game. But I understand all knowledge is not bad knowledge. We know that for a fact. I mean, we need these things to grow, right? But it has to be the right, the fruitful kind of knowledge. So anyway, so I'll go back to the message here that Paul is saying, if any, it doesn't matter the scope, from an angel above, supernaturally, or on this earth, if they preach another message than what you got as your base, as your foundation, what you've been growing in, where your mind, you've had the calmness of your mind, and you've been at peace with, and you get a witness that this is the truth, if they come, these people are going to be cursed. So don't give heed, because the curse is upon them for actually doing these things, because they have no consideration, love, or care for the brothers and sisters. All right, verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach, he's going to reemphasize, he wants to get this through to the assembly of Galatians, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed or given up to a curse. And Paul goes on to say, and he's going to lay it out there. Come on, so me, as an apostle, a chief apostle, for do I now persuade men? I mean, Paul is putting it out there. Is that my motivation here? Or Yahweh? I mean, am I here to please Yahweh with what I'm putting in the ears of your people? Or do I seek to please men? Is he trying to look great in the sight of men? Does he want to be somebody that's you know, is seen as some great thing and somebody that's an authority and some has a great knowledge base? No, he's not. He's doing it all for Yahweh. And if they hear the truth, men hear the truth, they're going to follow what Paul is saying. For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Messiah. And the word please is the Greek 700 in the Thayer definition. It means to please, to strive to please, to accommodate oneself to the opinions, desires, and interests of others. So do I seek to accommodate myself to the opinions, desires, and interests of others? Is that what Paul is saying? No, that's not what he's saying. He is not there. He doesn't want to accommodate himself. He doesn't want to put himself in a position to influence or become a partaker of somebody else's opinions, their desires, or their interests. He's only in it for the Messiah, right? Paul understood all too well what his mission was. He understood that he wasn't attempting to win men over to his doctrine, to his teachings, to his ideas of the message of Messiah, but that he was a servant of Messiah and was bound to only minister the pure, unadulterated truth of Yeshua and his kingdom. Do any other such thing would make him a servant of the devil, seeking to gain men's minds by his own persuasions. All right, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the message which was preached of me is not after man. I didn't go in the knowledge base. I didn't go to the library. I didn't go on YouTube and get some new book from Amazon, whatever the case may be, better place of knowledge so I can show the preeminence and show you that I know more than you. No, Paul is saying that it was not after man. This message, this thing that I bring you was not after my own ideas. It wasn't after my own conclusions. It wasn't after my own suspicions. It wasn't after my own theology, my own inventions, my own thoughts, or private personal revelations. But it was after those things which I received from the Holy Spirit of truth. For I neither received it of man. So Paul's telling you, he didn't get what he was telling the saints. He didn't get it from something men had written or some men had repeated into his mind. Neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Hallelujah. I hope I'm making sense. Glory to the King. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And that's going to be verses 1 through 4. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4. All right. Again, Paul back there writing Timothy again. I charge you therefore before Yahweh and for the Master Jesus the Messiah, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing of his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So why is Paul admonishing Timothy so urgently to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort with all longsuffering and the true doctrine of Messiah? Why is he telling Timothy, you need to hold on to these things, you need to follow this course? Because Paul goes on to say, for the time will come when they will not endure, they will not stand firm, they will not be sustainable to sound doctrine, but after their own lust. Because if you don't keep up with this, this is what's going to happen. There's going to come from time where man, after their own lust, their own desires, their own deceiving, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Not the teachers, it's the men drawn after their own lust that have the itching ears to hear more, to come to greater revelations, greater understanding, at least that's what they're telling themselves, and go to these forbidden things. Again, after their own lust, own inner desires to be known beyond what is acceptable. For greater revelation shall they abandon sound doctrine and seek after teachers, those who speak of alternative beliefs and possibilities, those who write books based on the personal revelations of their own truth, those that do videos based on their own thought pattern, perverted minds, those of use of Satan to draw away those who operate in the pride of their own minds. In verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the, when they're successful doing this. This is why, Timothy, you have to stay on this. This is why you have to continually reprove, rebuke, exhort, correct, be watching all the time, long-suffering, with all long-suffering and doctrine. Keep exhorting through the one doctrine that has the only solid foundation, because if you don't, people are going to get bored, they're going to decide that isn't enough for them, it isn't enough for their soul salvation, and they're going to go heap to themselves people that are going to build up and they want to know something more supernaturally, you know, they want to know something, be more spiritual, right? And when this all happens, when they shall not endure but shall go after their own lust, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, and by that time they'll be taken away. You'll watch them go out. I mean, hey, we just had a man that pastor talked about, it finally made it public last Shabbat, Nate, right? And Nate, and I talked to him, this just is an assumption that he has ideas about certain things that he believes is that Yah is speaking to him, right, through books that he's read, one of them being the Book of Mormon. And he looks at and he sees a lot of credibility behind that, right? I'm not, you know, he sees a lot of substance there, and he grabbed hold of that and some other books, something to do with Abraham. And that was his mission. And he believed that Yah was speaking in his ear, that Yahweh was telling him, charting the course of life, which wasn't the same course that everybody else here was going. So who's in the deception, us here, or is it him? But can you tell him he's in the deception? No, because he's received another message. And then what they do is they take that message and they try to convince everybody else that's the only way that you have credibility. You have zero credibility if nobody else believes anything you got to say. But if you can gain support for it, and then that's going to strengthen you in your belief and even take you farther down the rabbit hole, if I'm making sense. All right, Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 through 37. Matthew 12, 34 through 37. All Jesus, Yeshua is gonna, he's gonna address a certain type of mindset in this discourse here. He says, "O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." What realm is that? That's the soul realm. We've just been learning about that for the last two Shabbats, isn't it? That's coming out of the soul and it's being expressed through the body. You know, we have all heard of the exploits of the viper, that snake that seeks to sink its poison into the hearts of men, that poison that begins to open the mind to alternative thoughts and ideas, that poison that seeks out new revelations and new doorways. Verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, because that's the truthful things, wise things, things that are based solely on fruitful knowledge. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. He may never admit or never accept that these things that he's bringing out is evil, because pride will never allow you to say that it's not. But in fact, that's what it is, because the fruit will prove the knowledge base you're operating in. Who believes they are bringing forth evil things when they give place to alternative doctrines, alternative theologies, alternative interpretations? Who would believe that they are operating as agents of Satan? Who could convince you of this when they speak to you of newfound revelations, that speak to you of those things which are for your greater enlightenment? I mean, that's chewy conversation, right? But I've seen brothers doing it. I don't know what the sisters do, but I've seen brothers doing it for years. They get down on one table, boy, and they'll flip them books open, and they'll be going back, well, I read this, and I read that. And you know, it might start off friendly. I've seen it almost turn into fist fights one too many times, like shaking my head. You ever notice that us as the leader, we don't, I mean, I don't ever engage in stuff like that, because I got private studies, and we got the time when those that are ordained positions that Paul already spoke of get up and speak to you, because they have the unction of the Holy Spirit. They have the place given to them by the Most High. Okay, verse 36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account in the day of judgment. So Yeshua is talking about, O generation of vipers, he's speaking to the minds of these men, he's speaking into their ears. He's telling them this knowledge base of stuff, what you believe is wisdom, what you believe is the way that the people have to go, is actually coming from the place of a viper or a serpent. And then he goes on to say that everything that you're speaking out of the abundance of your evil heart, you're going to have to give an account, because these are all idle words. Every word that is not of the truth, every word that is perversion meant to draw men away from sound doctrine, every word which removes men from bearing good fruit. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So all can life and death is in the power of the tongue. And we shall give an account of our speech, of the contents of our heart, which we have spoken before men. All right, 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. And 20, and I believe this is the spirit that operates in these people that actually operate after this man and try to deceive men through greater revelations, through new ideas, new theologies, differences of doctrine, differences of interpretation. First John 2:18. Did I say that 2:18 through 2:20? All right, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. We know it's the last time because we see that there are many of those that are actually opposed to sound doctrine. They are walking after the manner of men who love the fruit of lies. And these are men that are operating in the spirit of Antichrist when they go and they try to deceive their brothers and sisters. They're going against what Messiah stood for, and they're coming and walking after their father, the devil. I submit to you that those who rely on their own strength of knowledge, who search out matters beyond that which is accepted and received of the brethren, which promote materials and ideas outside of what is taught and preached by those who are truly ordained of Yah and set before the people of Yahweh, that these men are under the control and influence of the spirit of Antichrist. These men seek to overthrow the faith of some by fair words and smooth speeches, by the use of alluring speech and a show of preeminence in higher speaking and a command of language, having no authority, but promoting themselves as some great thing filled with interpretation of all things, and always having answers for everyone's life's mysteries. I mean, you got brothers, you can call them, they got an answer for everything, right? They're not even put in position to give an answer, but they'll tell you what it is. They know more than the leadership. They know more than those that are ordained in positions. Men which have no regard for the souls of others, who give utterance as fools, not having restraint on their mouths. Remember, these are always souls you're talking to. When somebody calls you and you get in a conversation with them, never forget who's on the other end of the line. Never forget what you're telling yourself, what you're putting back into your mind again by the words coming out of your mouth. Verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been with us, been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were all not all of us. So why did they go? Well, because they had different ideas. The key to this verse is understanding that they went out from us, not that we left them, not that we abandoned them, not that we put them out, but they of their own volition, they of their own free will parted and departed from us, the body. No one goes out from something that is right. There always has to be a reason or reasons that made those things which were once right and true now unrighteous and false. And a man does not literally have to go out from the body physically, but can have already left the truth while still present and walking amongst the saints. But what we can be assured is that their works, those who are controlled and ruled by a spirit of Antichrist, their works and deeds shall be known, made known in all the assembly, and they shall come to naught. All right, verse 20, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things, because your unction comes from the true source of all truth, which is Messiah and the Holy Spirit. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1, we're almost done. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Deuteronomy 4, verses 1 and 2. I usually try to keep it to an hour. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that you may live, to go and possess the land which Yahweh, your Elohim, of your fathers, giveth you. So again, we have the admonition here. Listen, O Israel, hearken unto the statutes and unto the judgments, because in them you're going to find life, all right? Which I teach you, these things, stick on these things, that you may live and go and possess the land. Hold these things to your bosom. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim, which I command you. Going back with Paul when he was, you know, dealing before, when there will be some that pervert the message of Yahshua. What they did was add to or took away from that message and change the meaning of it. And we have the same thing here. Don't you add to or try to come up with your own idea what this command means, or diminish from it, make it less. Because if you encounter those men which seek to present knowledge outside of that which Yahweh had already given, then beware. Those men which are under the guise of educating you further desire to open up, quote, open up your mind to greater insight of what was meant by this command or that command, and insist on revealing to you what the Creator of all things was actually saying, what the mind of Yahweh was truly trying to communicate, and they're trying to, and what they're doing, they might not even realize it. They're actually adding to or taking away from something when they're trying to use their own vain opinion or revelation about whatever it may be, whatever it is in the Word. That's how serious this is. All right, Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. And me personally, I got all kind of, you know, in spiritual books, right? I got a whole library of stuff that I got. And I look at it, and I can look at it and see right away that where its roots are, where its source are. I mean, okay, the Protoevangelium, or Protoevangelion. you know, which is just a fancy word for the first gospel. It's a historical account, a supposedly historic account of the birth of Christ. You got the pseudepigrapha, which is a fancy word for those. Somebody came up with the idea that they can decide what books are non-canonical or not authentic. And, you know, you got the lost books. You got, there's so much material out there. I'm just talking about this type of sources. But all these things, if you go back, like I said earlier, what you have to do is understand the source behind it. And if you look at a lot of these things, are so Catholic-based, you know, because the Catholic, they're trying to convert everybody to Catholicism, so they got busy writing the church father, their church fathers did or whatever. But, you know, I take this stuff with a grain of salt, a lot of this stuff. So just be careful what you put before your eyes. That's all I'm saying. Just be careful. And when you do, if you decide you're going to repeat a matter, that's where you're going to have to be very careful that you don't cross the line, okay? That's what you really have to hold on to. If it's just you and you decide you want to deceive yourself, that's one thing. But if you decide to go out there and minister to others' ears, and then you're going to be held accountable for not only what you allowed, but what you did to your brother or sister. All right, Revelation 22, 18 and 19, real quick. For I testify unto you, every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, Yahweh shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, Yahweh shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things written in the book. And again, the whole point of this being is that be very careful to not come up with your own ideal personal revelation. You know, whatever, wherever it may came from, wherever it may have arrived from, either your own personal thought or something somebody else wrote or their own idea about it or all that kind of stuff. All right, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 23. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of the fools proclaimeth foolishness. A prudent man is one which does not flaunt his knowledge or go about getting into every ear that he can give, that gives place. But those who walk with a foolish spirit have no mind or care to hold a matter and seek to spit their thoughts into every unsuspecting vessel. So be prudent, brothers and sisters. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 2. If you have something that you truly believe is pertinent that somebody has to know, at least keep it just in leadership, right? Don't go to your brothers and sisters, because if you're wrong, then again, you're going to stand chargeable. But if you have somebody that has understanding and can discern whether this thing be of Yah or be of Satan, that at least you can find out and cut that thing short, if you know what I mean. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 2. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. I mean, I have people, I have brothers sit down to me, and I've had this happen to me many times, and I'll tell you how Elder Becker does it. If somebody sits down and they say, hey, you know, Elder, you ever consider this? And then, okay, here it come. And then, well, you know, in this book here, and they start going out, and I'll tell them right away, right? If the minute I start hearing, I'll give it ear for a minute because I don't want to discount anything, but as soon as I get into a little bit, or if they get into the best, I'll tell you what, right? Okay, you can just stop right there because I don't want what you're saying to get into my ear because I just don't agree with you. I don't want to get into it in the words of strife or debate. I'm just not going to receive it, okay? And then I've had to go to other brothers and say before, you know, the thing that you said, I heard you were talking to so-and-so about this, and you understand that they almost fell out of the faith by the few things you said. You didn't think nothing about it. But because you got some grand idea about this is the way that it should be interpreted or believed, and you're just out there running your mouth, not thinking anything, having any regard for any man's soul, just introducing all this foreign stuff into somebody else, your brother or sister who is precious in the sight of you, you almost cause this person to fall out. Not even think about it. Didn't give it two thoughts, did you? And, you know, because people hear, and especially those of us that have been in this for a while, they expect us to present things that are right, you know, and hey, I admit personally that I've actually, one time I did it on here, one time I know that I got administered by the Most High, and it's like, oh, geez, I had to go repent. I actually put out, I was on Facebook, I actually put out an apology for it, too, because standing behind you, that's the last thing I want to do. This is a very fearful place to be when you're out here presenting God's word. If you do it carelessly or without fear, if you're looking for preeminence or having some type of place because, you know, you're in this, you're given this position, boy, that should be a greater fear. It better be a greater fear. It is to me. I mean, I'm doing everything I possibly can to present God's word as precisely as he would have it for his people to hear. And if I'm wrong about it, I'll hear about it. And then I'll go back and like, hey, man, I messed that mark up bad, y'all. All right, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 2. Proverbs 15, verse 2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Again, you know, they use knowledge aright. They know when to speak it, when to hold it, how to present it. You understand what I'm saying. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 5. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. Now, these are wise men as they know and they understand that what they possess in their knowledge may not be acceptable to Yah or suitable to speak to others. These wise men can rest and remain content with that which they have locked away in their thoughts, and they understand that they have before them the souls of men who might not be able to properly deal with new things. So that's where their wisdom comes from. That's what makes men of strength, because they're not just simply going to go out there and start spewing all kind of new stuff to people aged or babes, because they don't want to jeopardize somebody else. They've already got to consider what they got in their brain. All right. And, dang, I thought I was almost done. Well, we're almost done. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Ephesians chapter 4, 11, Ephesians 4, 11 through 15. Ephesians 4, 11 through 15. And he gave some. He gave some to who? He gave some to the body, to the assemblies. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. What did he give these for? What did Yahweh give these positions and leadership for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. These are the men who Yahweh ordained to ensure that his people would come to perfection. These are not laymen or those that fancy themselves as great revelators and intellectuals, who are often actually the greatest of fools. These ordained men are there to protect and guide Yah's people on the journey to becoming perfected. But the fact remains that we have brethren amongst us who believe that they have greater gifts of knowledge and interpretation of the word, and sadly other brothers seek them out. But we only have as far to look as the fruit they produce. That's all you have to look at, the fruit they produce. Do these brothers ever prosper? Do they ever seem to grow spiritually? Do they ever gain in maturity? I'm talking spiritual maturity. Or do they remain stagnant and seem stuck in the same state year after year after year? And I'll tell you something where the safeguards in, as we as leadership in those positions that Paul just talked about, if somebody's in error, you better believe that somebody's going to pick up the slack and say, hey, you know what, I think you might be missing the mark. You might want to consider that a little bit, that you're going a little bit off track here and there. Believe me, we do. As leadership, you know, hold each other accountable too, because we know we're safeguarding the sheep. Okay, verse 13. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of Yah, unto the perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Messiah. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. So we left a position we were once in. We're coming into this position where we're under these tutors and governors, these men that are ordained in these positions that Yah set up for this reason, that we're no longer children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And again, these men lie in wait to promote their beliefs, to show their own personal revelations and the inside track to the truth they believe. And they do it with shrewdness. They do it with subtlety, trickery, as they themselves are carried away through the lies of false beliefs and doctrine. And so do they walk in the same vein under the same demonic influence that opened their mind to the lies. These men that were carried about, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, us as newborn saints, newborn children of the Most High, newborn in the kingdom, we're past that. We're not supposed to be giving heed to that or allowing this to happen because we have a solid base in front of us. Verse 15, by speaking the truth in love, care, concern for somebody's soul, care for their edification, care for their sanctification, not for personal gain or interest, may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Yahshua. Jeremiah 3:15, and I will give you pastors, rulers, according to my own heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 10 through 14, and this will be it. Ecclesiastes 12, 10 through 14. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words. He looked it out. What words can he speak? What words can he say? And that which was written was upright, even words of truth. So he's only going to put out them words that were upright and words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads, which are nails, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. We can count on the words of those who are truly wise men after you, those words which shall secure us and strengthen us as we seek to go on unto perfection. Verse 12, and further by these, my son, be admonished or be warned of making many books there is no end, and much study is the weariness of the flesh. There are endless amounts of knowledge in existence, limitless sources in which to expand the mind, and the quest of these things is tiring and can turn into utter waste of time if this time searching things out is shown to be unprofitable. That's basically what it's saying here. Again, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. This is the whole matter. Fear Yahweh, keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. For Yah shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. All right, this concludes this blog talk segment tonight on unfruitful knowledge. I hope I was able to at least impart something to y'all listening tonight. I thank you for being a part of the blog talk tonight. And again, just be mindful about what it is that you're going to be speaking to your brothers or sisters. Be very careful when you open your mouths, because you may think you're doing it for their benefit. You may think that you're doing it innocently, and the whole time you might be setting them up for failure. So love them more than you love yourself. But anyway, hey, y'all have a blessed rest of the week. Make sure you stay prayed up. Make sure that you're always watching, because Satan is always going about trying to devour whoever he can. And most of all, you pray for Pastor Dahl. Pray for his strength. Pray for his stamina. Pray that the enemy be kept from him. And pray for all the other leaders, and pray for yourselves, all right, that you may be healed. Bless you all, saints. Bless you all, and to you, much shalom.